This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of September 15th, 2019. Welcome. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, the Is It Just Me commentary. Headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest. The Big Deal feature. The federal election is on, and I catch up with punk legend Joe Keithley. The leader of DOA is holding the Punk the Vote Festival on September 21st in Vancouver. We talk politics, music, and sports. Plus, another one of Justin Trudeau's broken promises. And The Breaker will award a virtual Nanaimo bar to people making a difference. Now, is it just me? Is it just me, or should the House of Commons make it illegal for the leader of any federal party to skip a national televised debate? Maclean's and City TV held the first of five debates on September the 12th. Liberal leader Justin Trudeau was 3,300 kilometers away in Edmonton. There was an empty podium where no-show Trudeau should have been standing to defend his record of the last 4 years. Conservative leader Andrew Scheer, the NDP's Jagmeet Singh, and Green Elizabeth May all agreed on only one thing, that it was shameful for the incumbent prime minister to not be there, to not take questions, and not give answers. Trudeau is scheduled to go to one English debate and one French debate. This is what happens when a leader has too much baggage and is confined by a message box. Trudeau's repertoire is rapidly becoming shopworn. If there was a dollar for every time that Trudeau said environment and economy, Doug Ford and Choose Forward, well, the national debt would be wiped out. He has slogans, but they can only take him so far. His handlers, well, basically Jerry Butts, are scared that the ex-drama teacher will go off script and embarrass himself and therefore sink the Liberals' chances of re-election. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. Paul Riding reports in the South China Morning Post, Hong Kong Tennis Open postponed as protest disruption claims another sporting event. The 2019 Hong Kong Tennis Open has been postponed after organizers claimed they were unable to guarantee a smooth running of the tournament at this time. The tournament was supposed to go ahead between October 5th and 13th, and is the second high-profile sporting event to be called off this month due to ongoing civil unrest in Hong Kong. The Hong Kong ASTC Sprint Triathlon Asian Cup and the Asian Aquathlon Championships were cancelled on September 3rd, with organizers citing safety concerns relating to the anti-government protest that have gripped Hong Kong. The Hong Kong Tennis Open was voted Best International Tournament of the Year in the 2018 WTA Awards. Ryusei Takahashi reports in the Japan Times, much to be done on cyber terrorism and budget reduction for Tokyo 2020, new Olympics minister says. Seiko Hashimoto, a former track cycling sprinter and an Olympic bronze medalist in speed skating, is the minister in charge of the Tokyo 2020 Olympics for the Japanese government. Hashimoto has made the most Olympic appearances of any Japanese athlete at four consecutive Winter Olympics from 1984 to 1994 and three consecutive Summer Games from 1988 to 1996. Questions are being raised about how she plans to deal with games-related issues, such as connecting the Olympics with the recovery of the Tohoku region from the 2011 Great East Japan earthquake, mitigating the risks of extreme summer heat, and how to transform Tokyo into a safer, more accessible, and inclusive city before the opening ceremony next July. Damien Venuto reports in the New Zealand Herald, Auckland ad man hires professional clown for redundancy meeting. In lieu of the usual suspects of a friend, colleague, or family member, the member of the creative team at FCB hired a professional clown to attend the meeting with him. The Herald understands that the clown blew up balloons and folded them into a series of animals throughout the meeting. It's further understood that the clown mimed crying when the layoff paperwork was handed over to the staffer, who landed on his feet with a new job at DDB to start next week. That's a happy ending to Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest. Scott Greenstone reports in the Seattle Times, looking to quell downtown disorder, Seattle and King County announce plan for repeat offenders. Months after businesses asked local leaders for a wholesale reform of the city's criminal justice system, Seattle and King County officials announced a suite of programs aimed at addressing repeat offenders who cycle in and out of jail, often for petty crimes and misdemeanors, and who struggle with substance abuse and mental health. The recommendations would cost the city almost $3 million, while the county would kick in $2.4 million. The programs could come online late this year or in early 2020. A new 60-bed treatment center in King County Jail for $4 million and $800,000 in annual operations is included. The jail has hosted a low-barrier homeless shelter since the spring. Czech News reports, Victoria City Councillor puts forward motion for SPCA feedback on potential horse-drawn carriage restrictions. Victoria Councillor Ben Izzet, who backed off his call for a ban on horse-drawn carriages earlier this year, has put forward a motion to ask the BC SPCA for their advice regarding greater regulation of the industry. The regulations would specify that the use of municipal rights-of-way and parking stands for commercial horse-drawn carriage operations be limited to vehicles pulled by one horse, a geographic area bounded by Humboldt Street to the north, Cook Street to the east, Dallas Road to the south, and Victoria Harbor to the west, and working conditions be limited to 28 degrees Celsius and good air quality consistent with Vancouver Island Health Authority advisories. And in the Breaker.News this week, these headlines. Gregor Robertson's ex-chief of staff scores no-bid contract from John Horgan's office. U.S. charges laid in transnational drug operation based in Vancouver. Ex-VP sues airport authority after wholly flawed investigation led to unjust firing. Read the stories behind these headlines in the Breaker.News. This is the Big Deal feature in the Breaker.News podcast. Canada's 43rd federal election campaign is officially on, and I caught up with punk legend Joe Keithley. The leader of DOA, who lives by the simple credo talk minus action equals zero, is holding the Punk the Vote Festival on September 21st at the Wise Hall in Vancouver to encourage people to register to vote. Last October, Joe was elected a councillor in Burnaby under the Green Party banner. After so many years of running for elected office, he finally got elected in his hometown. I went and talked with Joe about politics, music, and sports as the October 21st federal election approaches. The Punk the Vote Festival is coming September 21st. Why are you organizing this event?
Well, I thought, you know, the election is happening, and I just wanted, the most key issue facing humankind is climate change and a consequential global warming as a disaster for us, a disaster for people around the world. So I thought I just wanted to make a mark and get people out to vote for candidates that would fight climate change. And I'm trying to make it like a nonpartisan event. Like, you have to go out there and vote strategically for the candidate they think would do best along that line. That's my sentiment. I know people do take all sorts of different points of view when they consider who to vote for, but this is what I'm pushing. I vote for the candidate that will try and fight climate change.
DOA is headlining. Who are the other bands playing?
Chain Whip, a rough and ready bunch. My friend Josh, who used to play in the Jolts, that they got a great band, just got a new album out, so they'll be on just before DOA. Before that are our Corner Boys, who I haven't seen yet, but my youngest son Clayton, who's a big punk rock fan, has seen both of these bands many times, and he actually recommended both of them to me, so I'm looking forward to that. And then opening up is my old buddy, been added, it's not on the poster here, but opening up is Tony Baloney. And it's Tony Baloney and the Rubes, so he's got a new lineup together. And the funny thing is that people may not know is that back in 79 when DOA added a second guitar player, I thought Tony Baloney should be the guitar player. And Chuck said, well, I think we should pick Dave Gregg. And I said, why is that? He said, well, he's got a PA and a place to practice, right? So Chuck was more practical than I. But Tony's a great musician. He used to play with the Real McKenzies for a long time, of course, helped found that.
Climate change is on the mind of many voters for many reasons. When DOA started 40 years ago, people were worried about the nuclear arms race and the Cold War. Times have changed. This election is also a referendum on Justin Trudeau's leadership. He promised to let communities say no to pipelines and then turned around and bought the Trans Mountain Pipeline, which comes to Burnaby.
We are dealing with it on a daily basis at City Hall. You know, the pipeline terminal is in Burnaby, and the tank farm is actually on Burnaby Mountain, like a block from where I grew up, right? So it's my stomping grounds as a kid and a young man. I think the thing here is with this election, what has come up is that most elections, there's been two dominant topics that people usually vote on, and that's the economy and healthcare. Starting about May, we started to see polls where people were going like, the environment is the biggest issue. And that's actually been consistent, I believe, for the last 3 months. And I think we'll be leading into the election. And I think the point is that people are realizing that if you protect the environment will take care of your mental well-being, your physical well-being, and your monetary well-being. Like if we take care of it and start to develop some green technologies and alternative uses of alternative types of energy as opposed to fossil fuels, we'll be doing better as a country, as a city, as a province, as a country. And the big thing too is that I know a lot of people argue like, oh, well, you know, the oil's in the ground. We got to get out, make some money, you know. But the thing is where people have to realize that we as citizens have been subsidizing the fossil fuel industry since it was created. And we've been lied to by various governments of various stripes along the way, saying what a good job they're doing for us. Now we've got to the tipping point to a climate crisis, and we realize the only thing they've been doing for us is making things worse and taking advantage of it so they can make money.
Trudeau promised to balance the budget. The $19 billion deficit means that there's less money to spend on protecting the environment. If the government isn't fighting corruption, that means that there's less money to protect the environment.
He's made a big mistake. I don't know if it will be catastrophic at the polls for him. By people, well, it's one thing when you sell yourself as the harbinger of truth and virtue, and you're going to do things differently, and then you turn around and do things exactly the same way that politics has been done forever, then you kind of lose that credibility with people. And then, you know, and he's feeling the effects of that, right? He has not balanced the budget. I don't think anybody supposed that he would. You know, there's always like promises made during elections that are not exactly lived up to, shall we say, right? And some of them are outrightly broken. But, you know, if we took the stance of investing in renewable energy and green technology, we'd be cleaning up the earth and probably making more money out of it in the long run. I did a lot of door knocking in the last provincial campaign, and people kept going like, oh, well, you know, the guy, most people in Burnaby were against the pipeline, but I did run into people that were pro-pipeline, and I would sit there and not debate with them, but discuss with them. And they said, well, you know, we really need the tax money. I said, well, look at it this way. The amount of royalties that we're going to get British Columbia is going to get from the oil pipeline coming from Edmonton to Burnaby. Compared to that, compare that to the amount of money that sort of in one, just one area of the economy from, like, say, perhaps ecotourism. We have one of the last unspoiled, under-industrialized places in the world. I've been all around this world, and BC is one of the most beautiful places that you ever see, and has not been destroyed yet. Most of it's like pretty pristine and in nice shape. And in the future, these kind of places are not going to be there. So to take a chance with on our marine life, with the bitumen, you know, it doesn't float on the surface, you know, it sinks. So all in all, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think it's no secret that I've been opposed to it forever, right? So
October 21st, the day of the election, is the day after the first anniversary of your election to Burnaby City Council. Joe, reflect on life as a politician.
Well, at first it was, the learning curve was steep. I won't deny it. There's a lot of stuff. I still have a lot of opinions, and the big thing when you get into government, I believe, or in life, is knowing the difference between right and wrong. And that's always got to be your guiding post along the way, right? But the learning curve was steep. But after a few months, I got an idea how all the procedures worked, what was going through council, and what was in the pipeline. You know, you're coming through, things are being brought forth to committee. Then council's looking at them. Then it's going to first reading. Then it's going to public hearing, then second, third, and fourth reading, and, you know, then becoming like a bylaw. Like that's what we do. We pass bylaws, right? We don't create our own laws because we're a creature of the provincial government, right? So all that kind of stuff I learned, and then now I've learned how to put initiatives forward and, you know, try and get my council colleagues on board.
The Union of BC Municipalities Convention is coming next week on September 25th. The controversial Chinese government reception will be on the agenda. What are your thoughts on that event?
I will personally be boycotting the dinner by the Chinese government myself, because I think they've been completely unfair with us and holding two of our citizens basically as hostage. And cells are lit 24 hours a day, sitting on chairs, not having access to proper conditions, medical supplies, and to their family. And Meng Wanzhou was living in a luxury mansion in a posh area of Vancouver. And the other thing too is that people have to realize that the People's Republic of China is not interested in helping anybody but themselves, right? So, and I think this was another mistake that Trudeau made along the way, where if people recall that he was entertaining Chinese billionaire and multimillionaire business leaders and raking in money for his party with contributions and stuff like that, people got to realize that we have a really valuable democracy. And people went to jail for that. People died for that, right? It's like this is one of the most near and dear things that we have to our hearts. And so to participate with another country that is strictly non-democratic and will not operate within the law, that, you know, people just go to jail for no reason there. Or if people cause a fuss, people disappear. It's, you know, like, so I won't be attending that dinner, and I would fault the politicians, our local politicians, who did. I think it would be a wrong-headed move. Some of them would say, of course, well, you have to make contact with everybody and maintain that, you know, for business and help your community and stuff like that. But in light of the circumstances that are happening now, like in Hong Kong, like in China, with the two Michaels being held, unjustly held, then, you know, I think we have to take a stand.
And finally, also coming in October, the return of National Hockey League. You've been a long-suffering Canucks fan. Any predictions on this season?
I think the team's improved. I don't know if it's improved enough that I think they have a shot at the playoffs, and I think that's probably a good thing to get the players. I mean, from the time you're like 4 or 5 years old when you start playing hockey, or you're out there playing to win. I mean, you're out there to have fun when you're a kid. but you're also playing to win. There's no doubt about it. It's a lot more fun winning than losing. I mean, I've experienced lots of both, right, as a hockey player, right? And I think the Canucks got a chance. To go deep, no. Too thin, but it's a building process, and we do have a couple of budding superstars, so maybe two or three of them, so that augurs well, as long as they can, Benning can kind of manage the salary cap and all that, and it's like, knock on wood, good luck to him, right? Bob, I think I've been a Canucks fan since 2 years before the NHL, so that makes 50 years, solid 52 years of suffering here. And not one Stanley Cup to, but we'll see.
That was my interview with Joe Keithley of DOA and Burnaby City Council. Go to suddendeath.com for information on the September 21st Punk the Vote Festival headlined by DOA. And make sure you are registered to vote on October 21st.
I, Justin P.J. Trudeau.
No!
Sunny ways, my friends. Sunny ways. Conservatives have been found guilty of breaking election laws in every election since 2006. We need change. We need to know that when we cast a ballot, it counts. That when we vote, it matters. So I'm proposing we make every vote count. We are committed to ensuring that the 2015 election will be the last federal election using First Past the Post.
I, Justin P.J. Trudeau.
No!
Sunny ways, my friends. Sunny ways.
The virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting. Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to a person or group that is making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to the Terry Fox Foundation and everyone involved in the annual Terry Fox Run. In such cruel fashion, cancer stopped Terry Fox near Thunder Bay on September 1st, 1980, before he could complete his goal of running across Canada.
There are 25 million people who live in Canada. Don't tell me that we can't raise $25 million from the public of Canada. Don't tell me that. See, I got to set my goals high, because I believe in miracles, and I have to. Thank you.
But 39 years later, $750 million has been raised in his name, and the world is closer to a cure for cancer. Thanks to Terry, many lives have been saved, but there is much more to do. To donate or volunteer, go to terryfox.org. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo Bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of September 15th, 2019. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on September 15th in 2008, Wall Street firm Lehman Brothers went bankrupt? That sparked the credit crunch. Now you know. Send me your feedback and send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit TheBreaker.News on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. Until next week. Fight, fight, fever! Broken promises! Fight, fight, fever!